Welcome to another episode of Inside Butterfield. My name is Tom, community manager, and I'm joined by the Butterfield theme hummers, Bruce and Kasim.
Hello.
Why, hello there.
And we have a special guest on the show today.
Very special.
Squid G.
Hello.
Hey. Welcome.
Great to be here. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Taking me hostage.
Yeah. We're rolling you hostage here in the studio, like, make some videos or we're not letting you go. But yeah, I think, so we're, you know, by the time we record this, season 7 Turning Point launches tomorrow.
Yeah.
We have a special streaming event tonight where some creators such as Squidgy and others can already stream the content ahead of its launch tomorrow. So Squid is joining us from the studio today. He will be streaming tonight, but we wanted to record a podcast as well. So Squid, welcome.
Thank you again.
How does it feel to be here today?
Quite overwhelming, actually. I'm not a guy who gets nervous. I don't do nerves. But seeing this studio, I've seen it so many times on your streams, being here, bit surreal. Bit of a fangirl right now.
There's some jazz hands going on right now.
Yeah, like it's hard to separate Squid, the creator, and Squid, the fan. Right yeah. now, the creator's gone, and I'm just like, oh my God, look! Look at me! Look where I'm sitting! How's this ever happened? How?
It happened, I mean, 12 months ago when I joined, it was just like that, Squid.
Yeah.
Trying to be professional, like first day on the job. You walk in, Battlefield fan. It's just, look at that, look at this, look at that. What?
Oh, yeah,
it's that I person.
Remember, I remember for me when I first, because I was hired during the pandemic. Ooh. But then the first time I came to the office, I was like, what? I was going around taking pictures of everything and just sending to my friends like, hey, I'm at the studio. I can't believe this. It's crazy. Even though I've been there like, for around like 6-7 months, but I've never been to the office. But when I came here, I was like, wow, seeing like the DICE logo outside and stuff.
It's pretty dope.
Surreal, yeah.
I think as a fan, it's for me, it's the wall where you see like all the magazine covers from like Codename Eagle all the way up to 2042.
I actually don't think we've showed that to you yet, but it was next to the coffee bar. There's like a,
I think I've seen it.
Oh yeah, wall of magazines. Yeah.
I've been here a bunch of times, going back to Battlefield 1 when I first came to DICE.
Every
single time after I've been, I've penetrated deeper into the office. Never been this deep into DICE.
Yeah, we're in like ever. The dungeon.
Of DICE. You know, like Squid, when you come back next year or something, you know, maybe we can go even deeper and then we'll...
I aspire to go deeper.
One corridor at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like a fog of war on the office, and every time you come around, you like explore and get like XP within the DICE office.
For folks listening, our office is quite big. A lot of corridors, you know, a lot of folks working here, so it's pretty cool. But here we are. We found the streaming studio, so...
Yeah.
We want to hear who is Squid G, the creator, but who is the man behind the creator, Squid G, as well?
I mean, you could tell me who you think Squid G, the creator, is, and I can see if you're right.
One thing I already told you yesterday is like, you're a lot calmer in real life than I expected you to be. That's a good start.
That's a really good start, because on my streams, let's say I'm going through a rough patch of gameplay where, you know, things aren't maybe happening. My viewers will always maybe rely on me to be entertaining, to be a bit hyped, to say funny things. And you say that I'm calm in real life. I think because when I turn off my PC, turn off Battlefield, I switch into husband and dad mode, and I just calm down. I just calm down. I've give everything I can to the stream, and then all of a sudden it's right now. I need to lower my levels a little bit because I can't be bouncing around, you know, on my kids. You know, got to go do the dad duties, change nappies and cup teas, and yeah, just be an adult, pretty much.
Yeah. Does that... does it calm you down, like spending time with your family after you play some Battlefield?
My wife brings me straight back down, because there has been occasions where she'd be like, will you just put Squid away?
Squid, stream is over, calm down.
Just put the Squid away.
Put the Squid away.
I'm not going to live that one down. Put Squid to one side and just, you know, be my husband. I'm like, all right, I'll calm down. But something, it's Battlefield, right? I've just gone and hit an amazing clip, and I'll come off and I'll tell her what I've done. I've just done this, and I'm trying to calm down after it. It's quite difficult sometimes.
Yeah. The excitement, because you work from home, so
yeah,
you're doing an awesome video, some cool moments, and then you step out the door, like, which is your office, and then you're in.
Yeah.
Then you're home, so there's no transition period, I guess.
No, there is no journey back. Yeah. It's literally out the office, trip over one of the kids.
Then you're back to reality, mate.
Just straight back. And then I just go back in the office, shut the door. I'm still working, you know. I'm at work, but your stream's finished. No. I can easily transition out of the hyper, you know, Squid into reality and me. So yeah, I'm a lot calmer, and that does shock people, I think.
Another interesting point of topic. I'm lost
topic
words.
Topic of point.
Topic of point. Topic of discussion. The origins of Squid G. Like, how did you start as a creator? You know, because you've been around for quite a while, so I would love to hear.
Yeah, by accident, if I'm honest, it was playing Battlefield as an escape. It was the game I enjoyed the most, whichever Battlefield it was. I find myself having a bad day at work, whatever, just not doing very good maybe, and then I was excited to get home and play Battlefield. It was became a routine. Mm. Bad day, Battlefield made it better. Bad day, Battlefield made it better. I was like, okay, this is cool. And my wife would hear me laughing a lot, or screaming or shouting. And she said, have you ever, you know, like recorded your gameplay? And I was like, no. And I think it might have been at the time of Xbox 360s where you could say Xbox record that on your clips. Mm. And it was a bit of a faff. And so she ended up buying me an Elgato capture card. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I plugged it into the laptop and started uploading clips to YouTube. One of them did very well. And that kind of became something else, a bit of an addiction. Mm. Putting the clips on YouTube and then watching people laugh, making people laugh. And so that's when it all began.
And that's some 10 years ago or even longer?
Oh, man. Now you're putting me under pressure. That's a lot of time ago. I think around the end of BF3 was when I started doing it. And BF4, it was really, what a game. It was really, really good for me. And the clips, yeah, they did really well. So I kind of like fell into it, creation. And then just persevered and throughout the battlefields just kept going. The consistency, but more so with 2042, really, really cranked up the content.
2042 has been...
Yeah.
I think you've really grown.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a creator.
People knew of me around BF4, definitely. And then maybe I kind of got a bit lackadaisy with it. Obviously working full-time as a chef with the family, it was really difficult to do the content. But 2042 definitely has been my most successful Battlefield as a creator. Is it my favorite Battlefield? Nothing can move from BFR for me right now, but it's been my most successful as a creator for sure, and which I enjoy immensely, to be honest.
So even though it's not your favorite Battlefield, you still had fun and you grew as a creator.
Yeah. Like it's in my top five. I think we spoke about that last night. It's definitely it's in my top five Battlefields. Yeah. What it offers me, the freedom of the Battlefield. I prefer the more sandbox maps like Orbital, Breakaway, definitely. Things like that where I can move around, do as I please. And I feel like it takes me back to those days when I began and I would just find myself laughing at the game or trying these crazy things that you can only do in Battlefield, and that's why I play it daily. Still.
I think yesterday we also talked, so top five, four, Battlefield 4 was number one, I think.
Yeah.
Number two was Bad Company 2.
Yeah,
two,
it's close.
It I think we have another fan here in the room, so I want to hear from Bruce as well. I want you guys to talk a little bit about Bad Company 2 as well.
I mean, what is it to say? It's Bad Company 2, man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm like Squid. I mean, 3 and 4, I started back with Codename Eagle back in the day. But, I mean, yeah, 3 and 4 were just so bloody good. And yeah. I remember some of those earlier videos, Squid, back in the day that you were doing, some of the other YouTube people that we've had in, you know, they were sort of starting to get into it as well back then. And it was just exciting to see people talking about it. I was working at a different company at the time, so I won't see which one, but for me, it was a games company. But yeah, especially with 3, because I was out in India and I'd come home, long day at work, and it was BF3 every night was kind of the escape from it. But Bad Company, yeah, man, I loved it. I remember when it came out, you know, I 360 and a PC player, but I played it mainly on 360 with my friends. I had a good group of friends we'd play every night. And it was just fun. I loved the maps in BC2, you know, BC1 as well, I thought was brilliant, but BC2, just the whole thing. And I did, I enjoyed Haggard and the squad and the story. You know, you often hear me shout, should I still be stacking? You know, that's straight out of the BC trailer, one of the fun trailers. I do love Bad Company 2.
Why I ranked Bad Company 2 so highly for me, I think, was the Vietnam DLC. The music, and it was just like, hang on a minute, this just isn't a DLC, this is like a whole new game here. It was just, it's still my favourite DLC. I love it, man. I need to play me some.
I see a lot of head shaking.
No, but it's really cool to watch you watch your content, and we talked about this just a bit before we started recording, that you built a community around your channel and around you, where when you're with your community a lot of the times, where you're doing clips or you have your own portal experience as well. How does that feel?
Portal was a godsend for Battlefield 2042 for me as well, and it really did provide me with somewhere that I could make a space, a safe place for my community to play. You could password protect your servers if you want and give your core community the password. You can balance things as you want, and it's just the perfect place to, you know, give back, because it's easy to sit there as a creator and, oh yeah, thanks for the views and the likes, and people, do they believe it actually? You know, I'm more of a, no, I want to give back. You know, you support me. You come watch, you spend your time watching my streams, liking the videos, comment on the videos. Well, let me give them something back. So we built the portal mode, myself and one of my moderators, Rob, shout out Rob, helped me do it. And it really took off, and it gave us something and my community to look forward to every single night. And still to this day, they're like, are you firing up the server? And I'm like, no, I've just got to do this or whatever. But obviously, EA Dice picked it up and featured it. I think, don't quote me, but it could be 11 times. It's 10 or 11 times it's been featured. And
it's been around.
It's been around.
It's been around.
But we're only on version 3. We need version 11 or 12. We need to discuss that for sure. Yeah, that was a good time.
I think you were actually, or we were talking about it earlier, that when you originally made the mode, you know, the gun balance was much different than it is now. So you want to do a Squid G Chaos V2, basically.
Well, no, it will be V4 now, because V3, because it's the logo's got all the bananas and it's pretty cool. It's really, I don't know who does that, who's responsible for doing the bananas with the bite out, but it's really pretty epic. I like that personal touch. But no, we need to do a V4 because there's still some weapons which we took out on version 1 because I saw them to be maybe a bit overpowered, or, you know, they didn't quite suit the mode, so we took them out. And version 1 worked perfectly. And I think maybe progressively it's got a little bit worse, and I'll be honest, but we definitely need to discuss if, you know, it gets featured again, to do an updated version and people will We'll love it again, I'm sure.
That we can do.
Thank you.
you're like, okay, thanks. That was okay. That was the only reason Squid was here. So now he just wanted his mode.
Update the mode.
That's it. I'm back. Bye, guys. No, but I remember when you know the game just came out, and then the first time we featured Squid G's Chaos, and like someone in the office came to me like, my God, this is insane. This is so awesome. Like chaotic.
I mean, that's exactly what I was going for. I can play Conquest. I still think Conquest is my favorite Battlefield mode in 2042 and probably in all Battlefields. Conquest, because I can do what I want, be what I want, and it's just, that's Battlefield for me. But I took Rush and we tested it a bunch with the community, and just if we kept everything in, you just would never arm in MCOMs. You know, as an attacking team, you were just getting destroyed. So I balanced it. And yeah, like I said, the first installment worked perfectly. It was, really popular because, you know, someone came up to you and said. And then, we need to get that balance back. And hopefully, like you said, we'll do that for sure.
How do you decide on what you want to balance? Is it something that you discuss with the people in your community? Or is it just like a personal take on?
Yeah, it's a personal take on playing and experience. I've played a lot of Battlefields. I know kind of what works, what doesn't. Yeah. And obviously specialists have their different abilities, which can, you know, really hinder arming MCOMs. So you just got to really, really look into that. It's not rocket science. It isn't. And I'll be honest, any creator could have probably done it. If they just really wanted to and put the time and effort in for their communities, they could have definitely done it too, but I got there first. And it kind of blew up, actually. It did. And seeing your name, I will say this again, putting the creator to one side, seeing your name on the menu for a Battlefield game, I have so many screenshots. And I will put those in an album or whatever, and I'll be like showing my kids, like, look at that. You know, when they're playing Battlefield, when they're older, that's just an achievement. I'm super proud of, again.
Yeah, shout out to Squid.
Definitely.
And Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
do you have a main then, Squid, in 2042? Because, I mean, some of your clips, some of the flying you do is ridiculous.
That's a good question. I do get it a lot, and which is my main. So equal play time between Sundance and Dozer, they're my equal play time, and we're talking hours, thousands, honestly. If I had to pick, if you put me on the spot, I've got to go with Sundance. I can just get across that battlefield like never before. I'm swooping like an eagle, I'm literally looking down. That looks busy there. I might want to avoid that. Oh, there's a tank. I'm going in there. Or, you know, so Sundance is my main, and I get comments daily. I have done tutorials on YouTube, actually, but people maybe need to know that. I get comments daily saying, like, how do you move like this? And I try to give people tips when they come into live streams and such, but I've definitely mastered Sundance. Yeah, she's absolutely fantastic. Dozer, it just offers something different. I know we've had ballistic shields in Battlefield 3 and 4, was it definitely 4?
Yeah, 4 definitely, yes.
4, but it just offers a totally different dynamic and interaction with the enemy, which I've never experienced before. You stood there in front of them with a shield and it's like, right, you know, the ball's in your court, what do you want to do? And it makes some of the most epic and viral clips that I've had with Dozer and Sundance. But I will say, I have a soft spot, a massive soft spot, and shout out to whoever made the skin for this specialist, for Liss. She's got a skin, I forget its name, but she's wearing like a blue beret, very Jill Valentine-esque. And oh my God, I'm obsessed with using her and taking out vehicles. She's fantastic. So I'd say main Sundance followed by Dozer. And then Liss is sneaking up, although I've got a bunch of use on McKay as well.
Nice.
McKay's my boy.
Yeah, I'll say McKay probably for me.
I say he's everybody's boy.
Yeah.
that's his deal. That's McKay's everybody's boy.
Especially with the new Season 7 skin.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Season 7 skin?
McKay.
The resemblance. Wait,
which one?
Which one? Oh.
Well, we didn't bring back Cowboy McKay, did we?
I'm not sure.
Cowboy McKay.
It's the shaven head, sunglasses, beard McKay.
Yes.
It's me. It looks just if like, give
him
me. Like
if we give him a green squeaky hat.
You don't need the hat. If I take my hat off, it's just me. It's identical to me. I'm like, wait a second. So I actually said in a video a few videos ago that, hang on a minute, now I've got a new main. So you asked me the question, it's probably going to be McKay because he looks just like me. Yeah. So there you go.
That's funny.
What about favorite map then? How would you go about that?
2042 map?
Yes.
Wait, 2042 map and Battlefield map, but first 2042.
2042 first, yeah.
It is Orbital. It is Orbital for me. It is like, okay, so how I look at the 2042 maps, I use the GOAT again, BF4, and I will say, which maps could I take out of 2042, put in BF4 and go, this fits. And Orbital, it's got the wow factor. It would fit straight in and nobody would bat an eyelid. It would just work. The flow of the map, the height, the buildings. Oh my god, the rocket, man! My actual first viral clip on 2042. I was the first person to ride on top of the rocket with McKay.
of course, with McKay.
Of course.
Yeah. So there was myself. There was the Broken Machine. There was Lossy, and there was Westy, and we're all stood. Was it a capture event or was it during the beer? I forget. And we're stood, and we're all waiting with our grapples to grab on. One stuck and it was me. And I'm just there going up and I'm just screaming, oh my God, this is just insane. And that clip.
I remember that clip.
That clip might have done, I can't remember if it was 12 or 15 million views.
Oh my God. Wow.
And it was just like, hang on, yep, this is Battlefield. So you put that map in any Battlefield and it works. So that is my favorite map in 2042. But if we're talking about the Season 7 map, it offers something completely new and different in 2042. Mm-hmm. I can't compare it to Orbital. It's a infantry map, not as big, but it offers me something different. So that's one to watch.
More destruction?
Yeah, it's one to
more
watch.
More destruction.
I think spiritual successor to Eureka Harbor.
Bruce? Yes, I mean it's no secret. You know, I love Eureka Harbor. Absolutely bloody love it. But no, yeah, when the sort of inception and the idea went to the maps team, it wasn't, hey, rebuild Eureka. It was, you know, can we get some destruction? Can we do something, you know, that feels a bit like that? Yeah. So I think there's a bit of spiritual succession in there. Definitely the destruction, though. I mean, you know, getting chased through a building by a tank is an only in Battlefield thing that we've always been able to do. So having that back's been great. You know, oh, there's a sniper in that building. Blow the whole building up. You know, I love that. I love that. And it does feel, you know, Inga put that great video up where this was a few months ago when the team were working on it. And, you know, the start of the video is there's Haven. Everything's beautiful, pretty. The radio's going on in the background. And then he cuts to this is how it looks after sort of 1 hour of fighting on it. And the thing is just flattened. So, yeah, Haven's, you know, I really love it, but I'm biased. But I'm looking forward to seeing what everyone thinks of it. Yeah, I'm with Squid. It feels, I think we've redacted in season 6. You know, we managed to hit that kind of Metro and Operation Locker feel.
You did absolutely well, yeah.
We missed that, Squid. It was kind of like when we looked at that, it was like, what haven't we got? We haven't got the meat grind map. Mm-hmm. You know, and some people are like, you got to be careful because, you know, it's not fun. You spawn die a lot on those maps and they're really difficult. And the flip side is also true, though. So many nights on BF3, BF4 with Metro and Locker, you'd have those really harsh push-pull tug-of-war games where you'd win by a couple of tickets. And it felt like, you know, bloody, yeah, I've been in a fight for the last hour. This has been insane. And I think Redacted got back towards that. So, yeah, with Haven, the inception of the idea with the team was a bit more like, right, great, we've done a meat grind. What can we do sort of mid-range infantry with a bit of that Eureka Harbor, kind of feel? And that's what the maps team did so well putting together, I think.
I mean, I have played it, and you've nailed what you just described. You've absolutely nailed it. My worry was, I'll be honest, when I first was playing, like, is it going to be another meat grinder? It so wasn't. Mm. It really wasn't. Like, it wasn't like you were always like banging heads in the middle of the map. Mm. There was flanking opportunities. And I really, really appreciated that when I played it.
I know the team would be hyped to hear that.
Yeah.
No, thanks, because it's exactly one of the things we worked hard on. You know, was...
Yeah, for Season 7, I can't wait to see your clips with the Ezra.
Oh, like, well.
I'm okay. Just going to be on the lookout for the clips with the Ezra.
Yeah, there'll be some clips, 100%. Once I get the hang of that thing, I've just got to learn the thing. You know, I'm a bit rusty. It's been a few battlefields since that thing's come, come back. So yeah, because we hadn't had it, have we? BF4, I used to snipe people with it, which was always fun to do, so I'll be doing some of that for sure. Yes. Does it backblast?
Does it?
You have to find out.
Because yeah,
you have to find out.
Oh, I will find out. It will. I'm pretty positive it will.
Try to find out tonight live on stream.
Oh yeah, let's try to do that.
Let's do first thing we do.
Just stay still a minute. Just let me. I know you're on the enemy, but. Oh no, these events, they are sweaty. There's no mercy shown at these events.
That is very true.
Well, it's all in, man.
Yeah, it's all in. So no pressure on you as well, Kasim and Bruce, when you're playing tonight.
I'll try to do some.
Bring your A game.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely.
I got some moves.
I got some moves. You know that. But yeah, I'll try my hardest, of course. Even though I'm probably gonna get like destroyed.
If in doubt, you just put Dozer on, get some smoke, sit in a corner, keep smoking, asking for ammo, just sit.
I remember when we had when I streamed at home when I was through the Battlefield
Friday Night
channel. Yeah, exactly. And we were having fun, but once I got Dozer, and then I started running at people with the shields and everyone else was like protecting me. We were having so much fun. Just seeing everybody trying to like, okay, what do I do? Do I run? Do I stay? It's like, you just see like the kind of the panic moment, you know, where it's like, I'm not sure what to do here. So they just start running away from you.
Yeah.
And you keep chasing them. Yeah, but it's...
I have a clip just like that on Arica Harbor. It was in the Squidges Chaos. I'm defending. I'm Dozer. And it was on the first objective. The attackers are pushing up. There's lots of snipers on the hill. And this guy runs in front of me and I'm Dozer. I'm just stood in front of him like a tank. And he shakes his gun, like saying no, and then runs. I follow him and he's running through all these snipers and I'm chasing. They're not even seeing me and he's thinking, he keeps looking back. Am I losing him? This clip is on YouTube to see. And he keeps looking back and I'm just absolutely wetting myself laughing. And I'm like, he's basically ran me all the way back to his own spawn. And I'm still there. He was just, I think the other guys were like on his team, no, I'm not having any of that, Dozer. You just go get your man. And I did get my man in the end. But
his teammates were like, that looks like a you problem.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Oh, just a T1 Dozer sprinting for you.
It's just so much fun playing Dozer sometimes, man.
On the flip side, I have been smacked multiple times by Dozers.
Yeah,
and I just got to laugh and say, you know what, fair play. You got me.
I mean, if they get you with Dozer, then I guess it's deserved.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I actually remember, it was on Reclaimed. We had a live stream here as well before the season went live. And at some point, I don't know why, but there were some folks in the chat that were also in the game. And we made a Dozer party and we met
each
other on the roof and Dozers just started Dozer fighting.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was very interesting. So a lot of fun to be had with Dozer. We answered favorite 2042 map, but not your favorite Battlefield map. I still want to hear.
Oh man. This is going to take a while. I think I'm going to have to. It's not in my favorite Battlefield game, but just the feeling the map gave me for the first time and then probably every time after that. Can you guess what I'm talking about? Let me tell you this. It's one of them moments where you're just in awe of like, how have they made this? And like, wow. It's probably the most wowest moment you can experience in any Battlefield map.
I might have an idea. Should I go? Is it Iwo Jima?
Oh my God, what a great map. No, it isn't.
Because if I had to guess, I'd guess Iwo Jima as well.
No, it was before BF5. It was before BF1.
Is it Paracel Storm when the storm comes in and everything changes?
But it's not on Battlefield 4.
Ooh.
One more guess. Come on then.
Come on, Kasim. No pressure.
Oh, you've got... You'll all kick yourself. And people listening to this will be...
I can't figure it out.
Shouting it. They'll be shouting it. Okay.
Go for it. It's the reveal in 5, 4... 3, 2, 1.
Damavand Peak.
How come, Squid?
The moment where you're pushing the enemy back and you're running to that edge and you just jump off with your teammates. Mm. It is the most insane moment in any multiplayer game that I've ever done.
So this was BF3.
BF3.
And they used that in the trailer for 2042.
Yeah.
Or played back to the idea
of Breakpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been suggested in my community that you're bringing back Stadium. Man, they would love to see something done with that part of Breakaway.
Mm.
They would love to see it.
Mm.
I mean, to me, Sundance Main, it was good times. It was a good time. But Damavand Peak is, it stands out. There could have been so many, I said, but it was just one of those moments where like, no way, right, we've pushed the enemy back. What, we jump off of here together the first time and your whole team just goes, you see the helicopter taking off behind you, oh man. And on the flip side, when you're the enemy and you're down there
everybody.
And you're looking up, you're like, whoa, I don't want to shoot them because this is cool. Look at them all. Oh, man, what an experience.
Is that why, I think you also mentioned when we were chatting yesterday that you really liked Exposure? Because it also is like a platform.
Love Exposure. Oh. Exposure is season one's map, wasn't it? It was season one's map, and it is still one of my favorite maps in 2042. It's close to Orbital. I like the different, there's different heights you can fight at. There's all these different battles going on. If you don't want to go down on the bottom flags, you can just stay up the top or you can stay inside the bond layer. There's just so much going on. It caters for everybody.
I'd say that it's probably my favorite map.
Exposure.
I love the verticality.
Yeah.
It's
on three levels.
Yeah, like you can be all the way down, as you said, or in the middle or all the way up. And it just looks great. As well, and plays great. So yeah,
it plays pretty good on all the modes.
Mm-hmm.
It does, because some maps do suffer from, they may be a good conquest map, but not necessarily a good rush map or whatever. Yep. But Exposure kind of works with all three modes, and I like that breakthrough starts at a different side to where rush starts. So it is a pretty good map, pretty solid map.
You mentioned. I also want to hear from you, Squid. What is your favorite clip that you created?
Oh, wow.
Put you on the spot there.
Yeah, I'm going to sound big-headed, but there's been so many.
Or some of your favorites. Right. But if there's no like one standout, then you know, like some of your favorite clips.
Man, I think the first time it's got to be on 2042 where I see a condor and I'm like, can I land? And I do it a lot now, but at that time I was like, can I land on that condor with Sundance? Oh, I'm on it. And I'm just staring the pilot in his eyes. I'm just looking right at him. And whatever view he was in, I bet he was like, huh? You know, like, what? And then I just throw a knife him in the face. And then I do the the co-pilot, and then another pilot spawns. I'm like, you want some too? You can have a bit. And then I run out of knives. And so I swapped to the sniper and I give him a few, then the pistol, and then I think they were fed up of dying constantly. So the pilot respawned, who I killed originally, tried flipping me off. So I put C5 on, jump off, and sail off into the sunset and blow the condor up. And that clip is, as of today, 22 million views, and I believe is the most viewed clip on Battlefield 2042. So that's got to be my top clip. But my gameplay, my game style, my content doesn't just offer that. It's not just the epic clips. It's the interaction with random players, the things that they can do and offer to clips and battlefields. It is for everybody. It is. It's like a big cocktail. I'll always say Conquest is like a cocktail. You shake it up and you just never really know what you're going to get. You just don't know. Every round is so different to the previous. And that's what keeps me coming back to it.
A lot of replayability.
Absolutely. Definitely.
What, did you already make like YouTube content for three?
Yeah, I'll tell you something which is quite cringy and quite embarrassing about Battlefield 3. And the first, I explained how I first started recording clips. So I was wondering on BF3, how does this Caspian border tower actually fall down? I did not know it was on a timed kind of ticket count thing and it will fall. So I'm trying all these ways, trying my new setup, my recording thing, like, do I put C5 on the wires and blow it? And it so happened that I put three C5s on the wires. As I pressed blow, the thing fell down. The timing. So actually, this is ridiculous now I think about it. The timing of that, if that tower didn't fall down when I pressed the button and them C5s and I upload that video and it got a ton of views, would I be here now? Wow. That's trippy.
That is trippy. So that's the first one. That's the one you mentioned in the beginning that really blew up.
From uploading the first video, just creating an account, and I believe it wasn't under the name Squidgy. It was probably just my name. Uploading that, and it got like 7,000 views overnight. I was like, what is this? And everyone was like, oh my God, that's how you do it? And I was like, yeah. It really wasn't.
It wasn't.
Imagine how many people went and tried.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
How does the guy do this? What the hell?
It wasn't. So yeah, that was the embarrassing story. It's not embarrassing. I thought it's
funny. This is a fun story.
It's fun now, but I just that's mad. On the flip side, that if that didn't ever happen, who knows?
You wouldn't be sitting here right now, maybe.
You don't know. You know, life's weird.
Yeah.
Paths are weird. You are where you're meant to be, I guess.
I think so. But just to hear a little bit more about Squid the Man, or the non-creator Squid. Like, you started out as a chef. So, you know, you weren't born as a content creator.
No, I wasn't.
That's not how you came into this world.
No, okay. So, growing up, gaming, just always been a gamer. My mum always did her best to provide, and you know, without being spoilt rotten or whatever, always did her best to give me consoles, basically, growing up, and just love of gaming. And actually, before Squid the Chef, I did actually go to college. I did okay at school. I did go to college. I was a pretty good drawer. I think I explained this to you yesterday. Did some art and design, and I really wanted to get into game development. Like, seriously, I did. And that was always the plan. I didn't know how to, just a kid from North Yorkshire, like, how? This world's massive. I can never do that. So I went, did the art and design. I was going to go do some graphic design. I didn't ever know the steps to get into game development or whatever. Just get a foot in the door would have been nice. And so I took like a gap year, and sadly got used to the money. I didn't take my mum's advice, and mums are always right. She said, don't do it, you'll regret it. And I said, look, I just want a car. And I was naive and young and stupid, didn't listen. And I got used to the money, stuck in the job. And that was, to be honest, that was a dead end job. That was before I was a chef. I just got stuck. And then finally thought, you know what, enough's enough. While gaming constantly with Battlefield, this is where Battlefield really helped me through that time. It gave me something to look forward to after just a terrible, terrible shift. And then, I said, enough's enough. I've got a passion. I can't do anything with games. And this was all while just tickling YouTube, never really going full send, just doing it as a hobby. And then, went and studied to be a chef, became a chef, did that for like 10 years up until COVID. And that's when, and I know this is going to sound awful, but if COVID didn't happen, I would definitely probably still be a chef.
Because that gave you the opportunity, like a lot of people were at home, they were watching content.
Yeah, exactly.
Playing games.
So I would go to work, long hours as a chef. And there, honestly, it's not a good time. I explained when everybody's out celebrating an event or a time of year, Easter, Christmas, Mother's Day, Father's Day, you're working harder. So I had kids and I couldn't be with the kids. And yeah, COVID happened. So obviously the restaurant shut down. Well, closed temporarily. It's open again now, but closed. And when I would finish my shifts, I would go instantly get in the door, get my whites off, change and go stream. That was my life. It wasn't a life, if I'm honest. Mm. And then obviously COVID comes and I got nothing to do. So I pressed go live and did it again and again. And then it just became a habit. And luckily, I was able to quit my job as a chef and go full time.
So you're a full time content creator now. But I would love to hear more about, you know, content creation looks cool from the outside, but it is hard work. So you were a chef, which is hard work, but you probably might work more hours now.
I work. Yeah, I work more hours now, 100%. Like a chef is, you get a lot of good chefs that can't do services. They're great cooks. They're great chefs. They can make food. They can prep, but service is where pressure is. There is a lot of pressure on it. So pressure has always been something I've been used to. So with content creation, you've got to stay relevant. I will use that and consistent. And that is where the pressure comes. The pressure comes from, right, I've got to make a video that's going to entertain people because time's a valuable thing. You know, people can't get it back and you've got to entertain them. So there is a lot of pressure in that aspect of it. Yeah, it's not easy. Is it the most difficult thing I've ever done? Yes. And when people say, oh, I want to be a YouTuber, how do I start? How do I do it? I say, don't. It's really hard. It is not an easy thing to do. It is very stressful because you're your own boss, but you're not. You're at the mercy of people making games and YouTube's algorithm, which changes all the time. So it is the most stressful thing. I've had what I consider my best videos absolutely tank. And I've put hours into the gameplay, into the editing, into the thumbnail, everything that goes into making a video. I put hours into it. I think this is a fire video and it just sinks. And then I've had ones, I remember this is a story going back years. It was just before Battlefield 1 release. And I think Call of Duty were Infinite Warfare at the time. And I did like a comparison video. And I put it together late at night and I got into bed and I regretted it. And I thought I should delete that video. That's not my style of content. No, delete it. Next thing I'm waking up in the morning, I was like, oh no, I've fallen asleep. 500,000 views. I didn't expect 500,000 views. Mm. It just goes to show you're not fully in charge of yourself.
Oh, okay.
You put a random video out there, it can just go crazy and you can put your soul into something and it sinks. So it is very stressful. But like I say, I've always handled pressure and stress pretty well.
Where do you find the fun in being, you know, Squidgy, the content creator and doing that work, but also still playing the game that you love and enjoy?
It's easy. It is easy because I've always played Battlefield games. It came really, really simple to me. Now, if I have to play another game, I feel somewhat out of my comfort zone a little bit. I've not got the safety of Battlefield. Within me playing Battlefield and then my community wrapped around me who are also, you know, in love with Battlefield as a franchise, I'm in my safe place. When I play something else and I have played other games, and people say, oh my God, you come across the same in the other game. But I just don't feel I do when I'm editing that content. I'm just like, oh no, there's something missing here for me. And yeah, that's Battlefield.
Dude, would you say your personality matches Battlefield?
I would. Absolutely.
That's right.
I think when you say to people only in Battlefield now, my name and that, they go together very well. I think, yeah, they do. I hope Battlefield never forgets those moments. That only in Battlefield. They can never forget. It's a DNA. It is. Never stop making those moments possible for people.
Bruce, are you taking notes?
Yeah. You know I am, man.
I would love to hear about your community a little bit as well. Because, you know, you're a content creator, you play the game, you're a family man, but also part of it is you build your own community. So yeah. where do you hang out? Like, how do you interact?
It starts with stream. I've got multiple monitors, but I'm like, honestly, I'm always reading my stream. I'm interacting, and people who are subscribed, members, follow me, whatever, will say, Squid, they feel like they're cared about, and they are. It's because they are. I notice things about them. I notice trends in. I know this is going to sound like I'm a stalker to my own community, man. But honestly,
just community manager things.
I see the struggles in chat. And they're a very tight knit community. Which then after the stream ends or whatever, it spills into Discord. They're there for each other. I'm there. I communicate with them because at the end of the day, these guys are supporting me. Mm. If they're not watching my videos, then. Well, then I'm not getting paid. Mm. You know, it works both ways. It does. And people say, oh, you'll get to it. You know, you can get to a certain size and you've just got to forget about all that. What? That's, you know, I could say some things. That's absolutely horse. You know, you just never forget. And if anybody's listening to this, they can back me up. You know, they know. It's a personal thing. And I like to keep it that way. But my moderators, I will shout them out. They're absolutely fantastic. Not everybody's going to like you. That's life. And they're there in the chat, and they keep the place how I would like it. You know, and they're moderating constantly because they know that I'm there to entertain. I don't have time for any toxicity in my chat and to focus my energy on that because that's not what I'm about. I'm there to escape, play Battlefield, entertain, turn off, be my family man, and that's it. So they do a fantastic job, and they're a big part of the community as well. You know, it doesn't... If I had to do all what they did, I probably wouldn't have time to make videos sometimes, you know? So you've got to have the structure to the community, 100%. You know, I've seen communities in the past, obviously naming no names from creators who I just think, wow, you're letting that slide. Jeez, I wouldn't have that in my community. And if you keep it growing full of the like-minded people, it just grows into this beautiful place. People then escape in that community. And then that's where I'm at.
No, I think that's lovely to hear. You know, I'm a community manager, so it's...
Yeah.
I like seeing all the individual Battlefield creators we have, you know, connecting with their own communities, and ultimately we all come together as this massive Battlefield community for our love for the game. And even in the studio, you're like Bruce, you know, joined us last year, but was a major fan as well. Still is.
Hell yeah. Dream come true.
I mean, I said it works both ways, and you know, I've been through some bad stuff in my life, some hard times, and I press go live and they're there. They're there for me. You know, they get me through some tough times. So yeah, it works both ways.
Any further shout outs you want to give?
To my community? I could name individuals. I could.
Just a shout out to the community.
The community. They're all one. Yeah.
Awesome. You know, I noticed we're already almost an hour in. Wow. Is there any, you know, other comments you wanna share, Squid, just maybe about yourself, about Battlefield before we start wrapping it up?
I think talking about the community at the end is me. That is what I'm about. So I think that's actually a fitting way to end. I don't think I've talked about myself enough. But honestly, all right, the last thing I will end on, if it wasn't for my wife, I couldn't do what I do. Because three kids is not easy. Not at all. Wow. So yeah, I'll end on my wife. There we go.
That's a sweet shout-out.
That's
like that.
That's a sweet shout-out, man.
Thanks. That's got me brownie points too.
So we recorded the podcast today. It will come out probably, you know, in a few weeks or maybe a week. So after the stream that we're going to record later tonight has already happened. But
And you repair the studio that I probably destroyed.
You know, we'll talk after. But yeah, like, thank you for taking the time as well, to visit us here in the studio, to do the stream with us later, to join on the podcast. I really enjoyed this. I think we laughed a lot.
Yeah, same. This was amazing.
It can get deep with me. That's what that's what happens. It can be fun, but we can also go deep.
Bruce, Kasim, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Do you guys want to like lead me out with the Battlefield tune again?
I think they should.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you in the next Battlefield podcast episode. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.